Good evening, brothers and sisters. That last song that we sang, I was just pondering my own heart. Am I earnestly longing tonight to be filled? It's a blessing for all the songs that was sung there. I thought I had to comment on all of them, but tonight I feel like what I'm going to share will probably be a continuation of what we heard today. I was blessed to be here today. With everything that was shared, but something that I don't know, I'm going to ask y'all a question. How many here can remember the last words that Matt shared before he walked off the up here today? Anybody know what he shared? Kind of what he shared was what my heart was on, and when he shared that, it kind of confirmed to me that I should share what that God laid on my heart tonight. And this is what he shared tonight, or this today. He said, are we willing to endure all that God places in our life so that his will can be fulfilled? And so I wrote that down. I think we'll just continue to share. Stephen, thank you for praying for me tonight. I have something behind here. I'm going to lift this up. Does anybody know what this is? Arlen? A wheel? Is that how you spell that, Arlen? No? How do you spell it? Okay. I really want to speak about this wheel, but I couldn't put an image on the board tonight so you can see what I was wanting to talk about. Before I share any more, did anybody see anything else on the board? Mark? Two marks? How tall I am? No. These two marks represent something I was thinking about tonight, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only person that I'm asked to share. I kind of feel like this when I stand up here. This is where I'm at in life, and this is what God wants me to share. And I feel like it's okay that we'd be stretched a little bit in my own life, so I don't know. I got a lot to share. Said to think tonight, as I get older, seems I have more of a thought on my mind and more of compassion not to share anything in a way that would have someone go home feeling discouraged. I think of that word in Matthew 12:20. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. So that's not my heart tonight. I just want to share a little bit what the Lord laid on my heart. A broken vessel. So I put this picture of this wheel up here tonight. Picture it to be maybe a wheel that they had on these buckboards in the mid-1800s. And this wheel that you see here tonight represents a wheel on one of those buckboards. And as they traveled from the East Coast to the West Coast, I was thinking about this wheel, try to give it a little bit of a forefront of what I want to share. As long as that wheel stayed intact and didn't break, it served its purpose. And you can think of all the miles that a wheel traveled back then across rugged terrain, through rivers, across rocks. And I had to think sometimes when it rained, it would go through maybe a couple feet of mud. So this wheel, the purpose of this wheel was that its purpose was to be placed in a buckboard to carry a wagon. But if this wheel broke, maybe it hit a rock and it broke tonight. Spokes broke, and maybe it was to the point they could not fix this wheel. So the plan for this will then would be, if they couldn't fix it, to just set it to the side somewhere, and then through the ages, 150 years, that will would disintegrate and be to nothing. It would go to nothing. There's no consequences for that broken will. But the other will that I want to talk about tonight a little bit, if we don't allow God to break us to be a broken vessel before Him, there will be different consequences for an unbroken will in that way. And here, our wills must be broken because God's will is sovereign. Hebrews 10:5 says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." I had to think of the consequences of an unbroken will. God did not put us in this world to break our will and to take us out of commission. But to the contrary, he put us in this world to break our will, to put us into commission. Hebrews 10:6 says, "And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure." I was thinking about when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, this is what he said. Hebrews 10:7, he said, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of this book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God." And my heart is tonight, is that our heart tonight to do the will of God? You think of Jesus, he said, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. But a body hast thou prepared me." And if you can picture that body tonight, the body of Christ, and to the point of what it was broken in when he was hung on the tree, on the cross, kind of gives us a picture of what maybe God wants us to go through in life. And if we read throughout the scriptures multiple times, Jesus chose to do the will of his Father. In understanding the will of the Father, we see that Jesus had a clear purpose from the very beginning. He was not just a teacher. He was not just a miracle worker. He was called to redeem humanity. We can reflect on how Jesus' purpose intertwines with the bigger plan written by God. As we read these scriptures, it's a challenge for us all. Let us embrace our own purposes and calling in life, confident like that like Jesus, we can also fulfill the will of our Father. We often ponder the importance of the choices we make in our lives. The Bible teaches us that every action we take is a reflection of our will. So there's the other picture. I couldn't put that on the board tonight. But the other will that I'm talking about tonight, in every action that we take, we see its reflection. Our decisions can lead us down various paths, and God encouraged us to make wise choices. In doing so, we must seek His guidance and direction, allowing Him to shape our hearts and minds in our daily decision-making. Through our free will, we can either align ourselves with God's will or we can stray from it. It is crucial for us to recognize that our decisions are significant, and not only for our lives, but for those around us. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, "A man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps." Psalms 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." So it kind of brings us to what I want to share about, and it always captivates me. It always holds my attention when I ponder. Today we was talking a little bit about it on the lunch table. God's sovereignty, His sovereignty in our will. We think of the sovereignty of God in our will tonight. As we explore the balance between the human will and God's sovereignty, we begin to see that our choices intertwine with God's perfect plan. God is sovereign and His authority reigns over all creation. But He has also gifted us with a free will. So this paradox, or this contradiction, reflects His desire for us to seek Him genuinely. When we come to understand that our will is a part of His divine plan, we start to appreciate. And only then can we start to appreciate the weight of our choices and the responsibility that comes with them. Our freedom to choose does not diminish God's sovereignty. You know, God, in His sovereignty, He has chosen man. He has created us, and we go out about in this life, and yet He tells us we have free choice in And people say, well, that diminishes God's sovereignty if we have free choice. But actually, it complements it. It's the heart of God. I was thinking about Jesus when he prayed in Matthew 26, 39. He says, and he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I had to think tonight, have you ever been in that place in your life where the Lord was here on his face praying and realizing in the end that it was God's will that you must do, no matter how hard and how much you wanted to do your own? Now, I'm confident tonight in this room that if I would ask some brothers and sisters, young people, to share their story when God had taken them through something to break them in areas of their life, I'm sure tonight there would be many, many stories. This capacity for choice has profound consequences for our destiny and for the course of human history, particularly in light of events such as the fall of man and the time of the disobedience of chosen Israel throughout history. Understanding the role of the human in our will and our relationship with God is crucial. I had to think of that tonight. If you think of the children of God, the Israelites were God's chosen people. Yeah. What's that look like tonight? They had their own free will, yet God created them to do his will. And you see two paths. One that God created them to do, he wanted them to go, and the other one is what they wanted to do. And I think of that, how often does that happen in our life? You know what I'm talking about? Those little intricate details of life where God wants us to do something, to follow through, and to obey, and yet we don't do those things sometimes. The Bible consistently emphasizes the role of human free will in our relationship with God and calls for it in our walk with God, from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament. We know from the beginning it says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Here it says he gives them a choice, and have dominion over the fish in the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves in the earth. This passage highlights that God created humans with the ability to make choices and to exercise dominion over creation. And then God commanded Adam in Genesis, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you must surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. We know what happened there. He exhorted Moses. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul? Follow God. So God values humanity as bearers of his image and likeness, entrusting them with the significant roles in his plan. He also talked about Joshua. We know what Joshua said. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, this is not quote, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. So tonight we see that we have free choice. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Ephratus or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, in this life, I've come to the conclusion that it's easy to serve about anything. It's easy to serve man. It's easy to serve our masters at work or whatever we do. It's just an easy thing to do. But when it comes to serve God with a clean heart and a full heart, you know why it's hard? Because it requires a broken heart. It requires a broken spirit, one that is, as I picture Christ on his knees praying there in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. We see the New Testament continues to affirm the importance of human will. Jesus said in John 3:16 through 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a choice there. You will not perish if you believe in the Lord. And I know there's a drawing that God must do there. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Peter and 1 Peter 13 through 14. Wherefore, it says here, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. There's choices here. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Paul also taught in Romans, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in chambering in wantonness, not in strife and envy. Sometimes we look at sin and we itemize them, we categorize them. What's the greatest sin? I had to think tonight, the biggest sin is not drunkenness, fornication, adultery, etc. All those things that you read in the list there. But the biggest sin, I think, tonight is that we try to do what we try to do without God. And we are unwilling to be broken. 1 Thessalonians 5, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. These are choices. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the consequences of our choices? Our choices have significant eternal consequences affecting both our rewards in heaven and our spiritual state, including our relationship with God and man. The Bible affirms that while God empowers and guides us through His Word and the Holy Spirit, we must actively choose to follow Him. The consequences of our choice are evident throughout Scripture, although these Bible truths may pose challenges to some theological viewpoints. And I was just looking at that a little bit this afternoon. What theological viewpoints would be against the idea that God has given man free choice? I thought of the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of good works, and the doctrine of once saved, always saved. Personally, I believe that most people never get to the point in their life. I'm not talking about so much as in here. As you talk to people in the streets and in prisons, you talk about free choice, they would rather think that God is in control, and if they sin, like the brother shared today, that God will just let some sins fall through the cracks. And in any way, He's in charge. So I had to think of that tonight. That'd be an easy way to live. But we know tonight that with our free choice, choosing God and choosing not to sin and to practice holiness, that we'll be accountable someday before God. Our actions and choices will result in rewards in heaven. Right? If we choose to follow God, it says in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and He shall reward every man according to his work. God is just, He's fair and loving, ensuring equality for everyone. Jesus said in Luke 18:29, and He said to them, verily I say unto you, there is no man. Maybe today we feel like we left everything. There is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Peter talks about if we endure to the end, we allow ourselves to be broken in a vessel for God. He assures us in 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you should never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see that tonight, that if we endure unto the end and we allow God to break us and we walk in His will, then we will be assured an entrance into the kingdom of God. I think that would be each one of our hearts tonight. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Matthew 21:43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Matthew 21:44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So we see here a picture of being of the two choices we have there. John 1, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So as you're thinking tonight, how do we align our will up with the will of God? We see here that to continue to continue to love the world or anything in it. What is the world? We read it here, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. While a tree cannot change its nature, humans have the capacity to choose whether to abide in Jesus or not. Is that true? It's true. The parable of the five foolish virgins serve as a reminder that not preparing spiritually is a choice with consequences. We all know that passage there in the scriptures. John 6:29. So our walk with God is a lifelong journey of faith and obedience, involving the interplay between divine grace, His sovereignty, and human responsibilities. As the scripture showcases, it is evident that individuals and groups have turned away from God in their faith in various ways throughout biblical history, not by the will of God, but by the exercise of free will, leading the entire human race to the fall. So my encouragement tonight is that we would embrace ourselves through this journey, knowing that while it is filled with challenges, it is also a journey of great growth and transformation. By continually yielding to the Holy Spirit and living by God's Word, we fulfill our divine purpose and draw closer to Him. And also our prayer life plays a crucial role in our relationship with God and our spiritual formation and how our choices have significant eternal consequences. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear someone say something or something preached, it will go through my mind over and over. And it's one thought that I kept thinking about, and I keep thinking about, is I think it's something that someone preached one time. He said, 1 second after we die, we stand in the presence of God, we will wish that we prayed more. This is at the judgment. We will wish that we worship more. We will wish that we love more. We will wish that we wept more. We was drawn to Him more. I think of this tonight. Is that our heart? You know, life is moving on as the clock is moving on tonight. We need to make choices throughout this life. And the Bible says there in Matthew, many are called, but few are chosen. What does that look like? I had to think of something. I have a few employees that work for me, and every now and then comes the time when I need to hire a new employee. And we put an ad out, or someone calls, and we make the connection, and I call him, and I hire the person, and everything is fine. He's excited and happy. I'm excited and happy. He starts his journey. And this is how I think this is what happens in a lot of Christian lives. We start our journey. And a year goes by. Things don't look the same. Nothing changed. Everything's the same. Same pay, same reward, same job. But yet, the employee is disgruntled. Why is that? You know, I think it happens in his Christian life. Think of that song. take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swiftly and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips, let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. These things we do. We use our hands for the service of God. We use our voice to sing. We use our feet to take us to do ministry. And our hands to pass out literature. We take our silver and our gold. We lay it in the offering. But the next verse that says, take my will and make it thine. I think we're good at fulfilling the first ones, but when it gets to that point, take my will, make it thine, we stop. We want to hold on to those things. We want to hold on to our life. So my encouragement is here tonight, if you're here and you're not born again, you've never met the Lord, are you willing to be a broken vessel for Him? In the kingdom of God, when you begin His work, if you're here tonight, you've been following the Lord for 20 years, there's no retirement. And there should be no reason that we're disgruntled or tired. We should just be broken more and more and more during the service of the Lord. But I can't always say that for myself. I know I was converted in the spring of 2003. Even though at that time I gave my whole life to the Lord, I committed my ways to God, I don't think that I did it wrong. I gave everything that I had. But that is not when God did the greatest breaking in my life. It came much later in my life. And I think that it's okay, because I want to be more like Him. So I allow Him to come tonight to break me. I want to be molded in His image. And my challenge for you all tonight is that your heart also? Because if not, He can't use an unbroken vessel. He won't use it. He'll find one that's broken, one that He can mend, one that He can put together, and one that He can use. Again, He does not break us to put us out of commission, but He breaks us to put us into commission. It is true, it has been said that every man, woman, and young person that I know desire to be great in the eyes of God. But first He must break you to be great. And I think that's what it says when many are called but few are chosen. We don't want to go through those things. So I encourage you tonight to seek God's heart. I have a little poem I'm going to finish with. Maybe I think many of you heard this poem. There might be some here that have not. But I'm going to read it. And let our hearts ponder. It's called A Chosen Vessel. The Master was searching for a vessel to use. Before Him were many. Which one would He choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value, and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, Master, gold would be best. The Master passed on with no word at all and looked at a silver urn, narrow and tall. I'll serve you, dear Master. I'll pour out your wine. I'll be on your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carving so true, and silver will always compliment you. Unheeding, the Master passed on to the brass, wide mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. Hear, hear, cried the vessel, I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, cried the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows, my contents so clear. Though fragile I am, I will serve you with pride, and I'm sure I'll be happy in your house to abide. The Master came next to a vessel of wood, polished and carved it solidly stood. "You can use me, dear master," the wooden bowl said, but I'd rather you'd use me for fruit, not for bread." The master looked down and saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. "Oh, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I'll mend it and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, not the one that is narrow to sit on the shelf, not one that is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, not one that displays his contents so proud, not one that thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with power and might." Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it, and filled it that day. Spoke to it kindly, "There's work you must do. Just pour out and serve others as I pour into you." So my encouragement tonight, even in my own life, I'm learning. Probably when we think in our life that, I think in my past 20 years following, walking with the Lord, some of those things that I esteemed highly and thought was highly, the Lord didn't see it like that. But He's looking for a broken vessel to use in His kingdom. You know, if I'd put out a call tonight, how many would answer that call? So I'll leave it up to you all, and may the Lord bless you. And as I was looking into this, my heart was stirred to go deeper with God. May the Lord bless you all.